sing, and perhaps we could pray. Lead me where my trust
Father, we are
without borders.
Blessed.
People. We've got to confess, there are a lot of times when we'll trust you as long as we can set the borders.
The fact that you sent your son.
As long as we can set the parameters.
To rescue us.
We can say, God, I'm going to follow you. As long as it's within this kind
we
of
needed to be rescued.
Framework.
Lost.
I'll do whatever you ask me to do as long as it's these three
absorbed
things.
Absorbed by self, you
man,
intervened
Father, help us
and
all
rescued.
To have that kind of an attitude where we'll trust you and our trust is without borders. That we'll follow you wherever. We'll do
greater
whatever you ask us to do. We'll
love hath
we'll
no
talk
man
to whoever
this,
you ask us to talk to.
That
we'll
go
where you want us to go.
We'll
friends.
Do what you want us to do. We'll be what you want
Scripture
us to do.
Scripture goes on to say that you showed your love for us and that while
we'll
we
be satisfied
sinners,
in the place
Christ
that you lead us.
He rescued us. He pulled us.
We won't be looking at other places or other things or other people and wondering, what about them? God, what about them?
Into life.
And you'd simply say to us, as you did to your disciples, don't worry about them. Just
let us
me.
Never tire of telling that story, of reminding ourselves
again and,
we could,
again and again of
we
all
live
that
in
you've
that.
Done for us in Christ Jesus.
Help us have that kind of faith, that kind of trust.
Never
that
let
kind of
us
dependence.
Get to the place in our lives where somehow we say, ah, yeah,
that kind
I've
heard of that courage to go perhaps to an unknown place, to live in kind of an unknown territory,
but reminding ourselves again and again
and again and
kind
again.
Of outside of our.
Of the grace and mercy
what we
that
think
you
of
as
our
skill set,
outside
of our
talents or outside of our abilities.
That's why we're here today.
You're calling us to go somewhere beyond that.
I pray that you'd help us to have that kind
it's
of
the only reason why we're still alive today.
Kind of obedience.
And so this morning, as we've met here, I pray that
hear your spirit
in
speak
at least,
and we'd be quick
at
to
the
respond
very
at least,
just say
in
yes.
our hearts, we will
just
exalt
yes.
Jesus. To the place that he
We're
deserves.
Thankful for those people in our lives as we look back in our own lives.
We understand
we can see
that there's a day coming
in
when every knee will bow and every tongue
confess
that Jesus Christ
people,
is Lord to
or,
the glory of God.
Or one of those
that day
kind
for
of
us
people
is today.
Brought to us the message of the
we
God.
We want to exalt him today.
Someone who lived in that kind of
we
way.
We want to bow our knees today.
And perhaps that's going to be what it takes for us to take the gospel
so we do that.
To others.
We've done that through singing. We've done that through praying,
we've
gospel-centered lives,
considering your awesome
where
work.
Our lives really are about.
We do that through our
about the gospel, about the kingdom,
invitation to
about
you,
the advancement
to
of your cause and
your
purpose.
And we pray these things in Jesus'
the advancement
name.
Of the fame and glory of Jesus Maybe Christ that would motivate all that we do.
Thank you to the guys on the worship team
thank
who
you
spent
for
a
this
good
time
portion of yesterday, or many of
worship.
Them spent a good portion of yesterday.
Just pray that our hearts were
tearing
tuned
apart
into
the
you
stage
and they were
rebuilding
focused on you and not. On
the
words and not on
the
music,
and
not on the singers, not on the performers,
really awesome.
Not on the musicians,
and,
but they were focused on you. And that you were blessed by the worship of our hearts as we directed our praise and
anyway,
worship toward
appreciate
you.
Appreciate that.
A couple
again,
of other announcements
that
didn't
kind
get
of
made
attitude,
today.
Our focus is not on me.
Is that on Good Friday
on
evening we're
going to
have a
some specific words I say or
come and go.
It'll
I
be different than we've done in the past
wrong,
years.
Or maybe I miss
it's just going to be
speak,
set up.
Or communion is going to be set up.
Or do something
here,
dumb.
You just
have
guys come
possible.
With your families and just
that our focus would be on your word.
Say serve yourselves.
So we'd receive that
just partake
word spoken
as
to
you
us
want
and
to.
Applied to
you
our
can
hearts.
Talk about whatever
Spirit.
You want to with your families.
That's what we invite.
You can
to
receive communion
right
together at
the
same time. Whatever you want to do. It's going to be set up. There'll be some music playing and it'll be the church will be open from probably 6:30 till 8. So just any time during that time, come on over and have that time. I'm not necessarily going to be here. I might be here, but it won't be the same as we've done the last 3 or 4 years. Another announcement is that next Saturday night is the Brazilian barbecue fundraiser at our house. That's
so
helping to raise money for Patrick and Krista. One of the emails I sent out this week
there's
an invitation to someone to come to that barbecue to help.
There's
Patrick
something to be said for
buy their new
start.
Baby from China,
right?
About starting off.
Apparently,
well.
That's not the way you should
something
word it.
To be said for that.
So,
but
and,
it was to Brad Hood. So
we always
what do you expect?
Anyway. We always hope for that.
But we're going to help them raise some money.
We take.
And Patrick or
not
Krista
to bring up a painful
has an anonymous friend. That has
it
agreed
was,
to match the first
$2,000 that we raised
Carl
that night.
Kierberg this, but
so
I don't think it's a
problem
Roderick for us to
our
get
lives,
$2,000,
which
means automatically
things.
We're at $4,000.
So this was really the first year I really cared about the Falcons.
No, I knew Carl before.
I
pretended
stuff.
Like I cared about the Falcons,
and,
but I didn't
God
really
use
care about
this
the Falcons. I was more of a Vikings fan, but when Roderick came into the world, then into our world, then we started caring actually about what happened to the Falcons. And you recall
1 Samuel chapter 28.
So years ago, they were in the Super Bowl, and they started really well.
I've entitled this message this morning.
And we're going into
yet
the fourth
another mistake by Saul.
Bag.
I mean, he just
it's
compounds them one after
it's
the other.
Very similar to the.
This is perhaps one of his more egregious.
Not
mistakes.
To relive the past, but very
and
similar to how I felt.
28.
And
four times
I'm
in the
read,
70s for the Vikings.
Portion of this chapter,
four,
starting at verse 1.
Entering into
now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel.
Well,
and Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men."
No.
So David said to Achish, "Surely
the
Falcons, you know
they were
what your
leading,
can
right?
do." And Achish said to David,
"They're up
big,
kind
of
like 98
when
one of
my
chief
guardians
Falcons to go to the Super Bowl." And
now you remember what was happening.
Started really
that
well.
David actually was going out.
But you remember what happened in the game
to attack
a couple years
Philistines,
ago in the Super Bowl,
and he
wasn't
was
really allied.
The end was tragic
with Achish, one of the Philistine commanders.
I think that
we talked
kind
about
that
last
of
week.
Understanding
so
that's
or that
kind of
here.
So now it says in verse 3. Now Samuel had died.
Samuel was the prophet.
Get stronger.
And all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own
and we
city.
We can all look back as
and
as
Saul had
older
put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land.
Interesting.
We can all look back at ways in which we would do things differently had we
so
had a chance to do it again. Right.
Actually, following.
We can also look back in our lives and think,
a good path.
And had a fairly
kind of the Lord's will.
I've had a fairly
spiritist and mediums out of the land.
You know, productive.
Then the Philistines gathered together
and came to
work.
We think,
yeah,
there was camped
at Shunem. But
so Saul gathered
really
all Israel together and they
me
camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly.
That's ancient history.
When Saul inquired of the Lord.
And
the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by
and
Urim
like,
or by the
so
prophet.
Long ago. Maybe I can remember.
Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him,
In fact,
there is a woman who is a medium
right?
in
no, I'm
Endor.
Not planning on leaving anytime soon.
So Saul disguised himself and put
retirement
on other
the other day.
And he went
I'm kind of laughing about
went
it.
With him, and they came
you
to
know,
the woman by night.
Planned their whole career for the retirement
for me, and bring
up. No, you're supposed to do that.
Bring
up
for me
the
woman
whom
I shall
do that.
So
the woman said,
"You know, because of that,
you know what
I'm kind of
done,
in a
how he
you know a boat where I'm going
to
be, you know,
from the land.
The ship's going
to
keep sailing,
you lay
right? As long as I can,
to cause
you know,
me to
walk
die.
Around."
And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying,
but,
"As the Lord lives,
you know,
no punishment
considering
shall come
the fact
upon
that
you
I'm
for this thing.
I'm 10 years away from
the woman said,
what
whom shall I bring up
normally
to you?" And he said,
"Bring
up Samuel."
No way that's going to happen. But
when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a
loud
voice.
What have I done? Right?
And
so I
want to
Saul,
saying, "Why have you deceived me?
Entering into
our
Saul
quarter."
Kind of mindset.
And the king said
what
to
am
her,
I going to do?
Do not
how
be afraid.
What
be
do you see?
How's this next 10 years going to be different
Saul,
than the
I saw a spirit
ascending
out
well
of the earth.
How am I going to finish strong?
And he said to her, what is this?
Well, this morning we're going to read a chapter.
She said an old
last
man is
coming
up
Samuel,
and he's covered with a mantle.
And it really
and
Saul
is perceived
kind of the culmination
of King Saul's life.
So let's read that.
Now Samuel said to Saul, why have
you
disturbed me by bringing me up?
In the New King James Version.
Saul answered, I am
1 Samuel chapter
31.
For
the
Philistines
now
the Philistines
fought against
Israel,
and
the men of Israel fled
from
before the Philistines and fell slain by prophets
Gilboa.
By dreams.
Then the Philistines
therefore
followed hard after Saul
you,
and his sons, and the Philistines killed
Jonathan,
Abinadab, and Mal.
So Samuel
Mal-Tishua,
said, why do you ask
Saul's
me, seeing
son.
The Lord has departed from you, and
the battle
became
fierce
your enemy.
Against Saul, and the archers
the Lord
hit him,
has
and
done
he
for himself
wounded
as
by the archers.
Spoke by me.
Then Saul said to
so
his armorer,
draw
your
sword
and
out of
your
hand,
and
given
it to your
neighbor David,
men come and
thrust
me through
not obey the
and
voice of
me.
The Lord, nor execute
but his armor bearer would not,
for he was greatly afraid.
Upon Amalek.
Therefore Saul
therefore
took
the Lord
his sword and fell on
it.
When his armor bearer saw that Saul was
moreover,
dead,
the Lord
fell
will also deliver Israel
and died
with him.
Into the hand of the Philistines.
So Saul
and tomorrow you and your
armor bearer
and
all his men died together.
The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel.
When the men
of
Israel who were on
the
other side of the valley and those were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them.
So it happened the next
story
day
of
when
the Amalek,
came to strip
of Amalek
they found
was.
Saul
was
three
sent
sons
early
on
his,
Mount Gilboa
in his reign.
And they cut off his head.
And he was told by the Lord to destroy
and
utterly
destroy
the
land
of the Philistines, proclaim it in the temples
and
of idols,
in
of
that
their idols, and among the people.
Destruction.
They put his armor
Saul
in the temple of
and
Asherah,
some of the people
and
reserved
the body to the wall of Beth Shan.
Some of the best cattle,
and
sheep,
and Gilead, and those kinds of things.
The Philistines had done to Saul and all the valiant men
to make sacrifices to the Lord.
Traveled all night
right?
and took
so
the bodies
the
and the bodies of his sons from the wall.
And
of
they
Beth Shan.
Further.
And they came to Jabesh and
the
burned
king,
them there.
King Agag of the Amalekites.
Took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted.
And you remember in that context, and we've already talked about that, but in that context
very
of that
encouraging passage
battle
of
and
read,
of
right?
that aftermath all that of that battle.
Saul, Samuel goes to Saul
at the end of his life, and then says, what happened afterwards, and Saul, the celebration that was
followed
brought,
the will of the Lord. Oh, yeah, completely. Kind of, I've done everything he asked. The
Philistines actually kind of
and
celebrated.
And in that context
fact,
is where Samuel says, well, what then is this bleeding of
setting
the sheep,
up
the bodies
here,
what's
of
this
the,
noise
of
animals?
Of Saul,
oh, no,
of sons,
I spared some of the best only for making
a mockery
to Saul and
to the nation of Israel.
And
this all began,
coming up,
if you recall,
for his
many, many years earlier.
Incomplete
this is
obedience.
Just a tragic end. This is just the,
and it's also then
further
in that context.
Right?
This is just
where
what happened
right at the very
Samuel
end.
Makes a statement
we recognize
that
we've heard
that
Saul
many times,
had begun this
in which
kind
he
of
says
down
to Saul, he
downward
to obey
trend, and tragic
is
end,
better than
almost
sacrifice
at the beginning.
And
now you remember what happened to Saul, and we've come through 1 Samuel, and we've talked about. Kind of
better than the
about a lot of these things.
So as much as God,
King Saul was
who instituted the program of
as king
animal
of
sacrifices, right?
Now,
this is his idea. This wasn't the man-made idea. This is his idea.
Us,
as much as that was important in that
God
day for the people,
Saul
for their sins to be atoned for,
in
it was more important
knowing
to God
that
at that
Saul
point and
would take
continues to be
took.
Important to God.
And again,
that
I'm
we
not
obey.
Dwell on that. I'm not
we do what he
says. The fact is, he was chosen.
It was a simple instruction.
People
came from
Israel
Samuel.
Demanding
so now,
a king, right?
Here
they
it
wanted
is,
a king because they wanted to be like all the other nations.
Looking again
to
Samuel
for
some advice.
And he didn't listen the first time.
That's the thing we don't have. And God was really desiring that he would be their king.
There are numerous
be
which
their
Samuel was
ruler,
telling
that,
Saul
that
what ought to be.
God would represent himself to the people
and,
through the prophets.
And what he
so
ought to do.
Samuel was a prophet.
And Saul
and Samuel is the one that finally, after
just yet
years, and years and years and years of the people of Israel
so
saying, we want a king,
that
we
context,
demand a king. And
Samuel
week, going
looking at
God and saying, hey, the people want a king.
And
they don't really
want
you to rule over
I recognize
them. They don't really want me to represent you to them.
Sometimes in,
what do we do?
In your minds,
God says,
these things are
going to
find
give
I'm going
to
relent
to
the people. I'm going to give them a king.
I'm in the middle
and
of these
even
things,
in the address
in the middle of looking this passage
of,
and then
of Samuel
you know,
to the people of Israel in on
but
the
I'm
day
just
that,
tell you that
Saul
times,
is chosen if you read there
being the pastor
Saul,
is
or
not
Samuel's
glamorous
saying listen God's just
now,
given
you're
in
thinking,
to you now it's going to go
it
okay
I mean,
for
I
you if
you
you'll
Carl,
follow
I
these
mean,
things
it's got to be
if you walk in this way even
the
though this is not God's design for you, this is not his ultimate plan for you,
week and
if you'll just follow these steps,
amazing.
God will be with you. He'll help you. He'll provide for you. He'll bless
there
you.
There are like five
He'll lift you up. He'll sustain you.
In the country
you.
Who feel that every week.
And he said, and if your king will do these things,
most
then
don't.
It'll go well.
It's difficult work.
So King Saul is chosen.
And it's difficult
but almost from the
for
very
reason,
beginning.
I should say for this
we
reason.
We see a
this
problem.
Is one of many reasons
and
difficult.
It's, you think, well,
it's difficult.
Because
he wasn't the right guy, and God wasn't with
because
him.
Because people don't
know
that's
know,
not true.
Don't do what
God
you know they
anointed,
ought to do.
Saul was anointed
and
by
you
Samuel,
can't tell
representing
them to do
God's
it.
Anointing over him.
Because sheep
and it says of Saul,
are supposed to be led and not
in that
driven.
Early context, it says that God put a new
right?
heart in him.
So
you can send
so
texts and you
Saul
can send emails.
Saul anointed
and
as king
send,
and chosen as king, and it says that God gave him a new heart.
And you can talk to
now,
people.
Now, obviously, that's the kind
the
of heart that we want,
that
right? Well, that's the kind of heart that we need
try
to lead
people,
in,
people
in the kingdom of God and the way that
know
God
they
wants
ought to do,
lead,
really.
We need a new heart. But almost immediately after that, we begin to see Saul's
to be led.
I don't know.
His
ignoring, maybe?
But the fact is,
not following in this new heart
kind
of way,
and it's in this context,
not really depending on God at all.
So
as the scripture,
one of the first things
clearly says
that
in Romans,
Saul does
that as many
as
basically
are led
God's using him in
by the
defense
Spirit
of
his
God
and kind of sustaining Israel,
being
God's
led,
chosen
right?
people.
As many as are led by
the Spirit
of God,
these Saul begins to do is stop
these,
recognizing
the ones that are led by the Spirit of God, these
stop recognizing
are
that
the
he
sons
God.
Of God.
These are the children of
now,
God.
That's the first step, and it's the first step for us.
Doesn't
really.
It say as many as
you
are led
move
by
away
the pastor,
from right?
where you once were?
As many as are
you
led
move
by
away
the Spirit
from,
of God.
A relationship with God where you're kind of
I
depending
think
on Him,
we
then
are
just
completely
oblivious,
on.
And you'll move away.
The leading of the Spirit.
You stop recognizing that you need God. Now,
I am.
Daniel,
I'll admit it,
says to Saul, and this is
at
in the
times,
context really of kind of his. Maybe
and then,
first
then Lisa sent me another
or
article.
Time,
one
thing that we
Saul, says,
that we
Saul,
read,
and
she
sent
me this week,
and
we
sent
out
to
you. It's kind of a marriage thing.
And he said,
great.
"Here's what he said.
Something she read
he
earlier.
Said, remember,
in the week
Saul,
that
when
me
you
of this
were
as well.
Little, when you were
and
small,
it was really about
in your
the
own
role
eyes.
Of the Holy Spirit in our relationship.
God chose
the role of the Holy Spirit in our
when
marriages.
You were small in your own eyes,
and it kind of ties in with
now. What's the opposite of that?
Chan's book."
On
pride,
marriage,
really?
When he makes
and recognizing
a statement
or proclaiming or
marriage
at least living in such a way that
we
say, I don't really need
God
anymore.
God problems.
That we somehow will say,
our marriage problems
somehow
are
I can make this on my own, I can figure this out on my own. Samuel said, God
was with you when you were little in your own eyes.
And so the thing she sent me earlier in the week was really about the Holy Spirit leading us.
James
4, 6
tells us that God
marriages
the problem,
and the role of the Holy Spirit in us being the kind
so
of spouses that we ought to be.
What's the key to receiving
the
grace
kind
that
we
need? Spouse
that we ought to be.
And I think grace comes to us in many ways, right? Grace is the favor
because
of God,
we're not
regardless
of
how it comes. It's the unearned or unmerited, the theological kind of definition, the unmerited favor of God.
Or
so
maybe
it can be grace that we receive at our salvation, or grace that we receive in sanctification. It can be grace
that
we receive
the Holy Spirit
as He
in our
continues to bless us and walk with us.
That we don't really
but it also
understand
to do
that everything about our lives really is affected by and should be affected by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Everything.
Little in his own eyes.
So we make up our mind
God.
But
then
he
became
these
great,
behaviors are doing this
eyes,
is okay
God
for me. But is it really the Holy James Spirit leading us?
God resisted him. The Scripture tells us in
I mean, listen,
Peter,
I cannot tell you how many times
clothe ourselves in humility.
In the course
now, Peter,
of my
you remember Peter
talking to the
church,
that I've heard people
he
make statements
to the leaders
and they
of the
say,
church,
"Well, I really, we really believe
well
God's leading
of how we should operate."
And
in
I would
the
say
church.
That not.
And he says,
I don't
clothe yourselves in humility as you interact with each other.
But I think more often
just,
than not,
this
it's me leading
one person
me.
Should be humble and the rest not.
The Holy Spirit has
really
nothing to do with it.
All of us ought to clothe
it's just
ourselves
that I can
in
hear
humility.
My voice
this
a lot easier than I can his. You know?
I mean,
it's,
what
I was, listen,
what I said,
I'm
going to
make a
years
profound
years
statement.
Years.
I mean, one of the Scriptures
it's much easier
talks about us
for you to hear your own voice than anyone else's.
And really, but it's basically what it means is we should put up with each other.
What does that take?
It's true.
I mean, it's just human
nature,
right?
Humility.
Right? If we don't have
by
an attitude
nature,
of humility, we can never put up with each other.
We are born to be selfish.
Because
people
if we don't have an attitude of humility, we just assume that the other person is always wrong.
So
and that we never are.
Pastoring is hard because you can't tell
I don't
people
know if that works for
you
in your relationship,
you know
but
do,
I,
it
usually
work
that doesn't
way.
Work for me.
So what do we have? We have marriage issues.
Somehow
we
have that kind
of
attitude of superior
Christ. We have unwillingness to serve.
I don't need financial.
I don't need to be humble because, you know, I'm right.
We have
a history of making
unwise decisions.
None of you have had that.
That
petty
attitude
or clothed in humility.
And the fact
us,
is, here's the thing.
Wronged in quotes.
Listen,
because
really,
we can still be right.
By comparison, those $20 debts we carry are nothing compared to the millions of dollars
right?
of debt we're forgiven.
But it matters
that's
a great
matters a great deal and presents
holding
itself in
a serious
completely
grudge
manner.
Harboring unforgiveness.
You know what those
right?
are problems? You know what those are
humility
those relate to?
Is really the
Holy Spirit.
I don't know. Maybe you want to say it's the oil.
And the fact that we don't listen to Him.
Of
the fact that we
I'm
don't really allow
to interact work in our
between
lives.
Two people who think they're right.
That the Holy Spirit, you know,
and
I remember my grandma,
this, I believe,
as I mentioned
was,
in the prayer
know,
meeting, I'm asking them to pray with me.
My grandma
I think for the next
my
weeks,
mom's
we're just going to be talking about the Holy Spirit.
And her and her husband.
What is his role? Yeah. Who is he? How do we relate to him? What's his plan for us?
Great relationship.
What is his number one His number one focus.
Unlike a lot of people of that age, actually.
You know what his number one focus is, at least
in
my opinion, according to the scriptures, is to exalt
my
Jesus.
My grandma and grandpa would get in arguments at times. And
that is Jesus
one
being exalted
time,
by
probably
the
more
Holy
often
Spirit
than
in my
this.
Life.
Grandma says, well,
is the
I'm
Holy
not
Spirit
argue,
working in my life?
You know? And we have
if
that.
Let's put it this way.
If we
the
have
evidence,
that maybe in our head or in our heart,
of the Holy Spirit's work in
maybe
my
a
life,
humble attitude wouldn't actually
is how
it,
I exalt
right?
Jesus.
Because we recognize.
Then is he really at
we
work?
Recognize that
in my life.
This is the oil
Jesus is being
of relationships.
Exalted.
This is what keeps us from being so abrasive to one another.
I get targeted
and
with emails and stuff all the time. I don't know if you guys get these.
And Saul
obviously didn't do that.
Since you're not a pastor.
What did Saul do to reveal
I talk
his lack of dependence
with
on
my
God.
Phone around?
This
my
is early on.
On.
This is probably two
it's
years in,
here,
right? He's
and
only
I talk
been
about
king
these
for 2 years.
I
mean, how bad can you mess up in 2 years?
So I get targeted with ads.
In 2 years, it says,
based on what
he,
I talk about,
when he was
when
going
my phone
to battle,
isn't even on,
or actually when Gilgal, the enemy was surrounding them, he knew he needed to wait for Samuel to offer a burnt offering to go into battle, right? So Samuel's coming.
We're
basically asked God to bless them as they go into battle.
Sorry.
And the people are like, oh, they're surrounding us. So Saul, we can't wait for Samuel. Saul, we need to dig
I get
deep.
Ads
going,
all the time targeting
they're going to come against
about
us.
What
we're
I should
be
do
ready.
And how we should
so
do
Saul,
our
what's
church
he do?
Differently so
he
that
offers
we can grow.
The burnt sacrifice himself.
We can add hundreds of people.
Himself.
Was this his
you
place?
You know, it's common among
no, this
all
was
those
Samuel's
things.
Place. That I get.
This was not something the king was supposed to
no
do.
No mention of the Holy
Saul
Spirit.
Saul knew this. It was not somehow
no
as though he made a mistake.
Spirit.
Like, oh, I just
like,
I messed up. I offered this
way.
I mean, it's not like... It's not like you could really mess up and accidentally offer a burnt
almost
sacrifice, right? A burnt offering. This takes a lot of preparation. It takes
right.
a lot of planning. You got to get the altar and you got to get the
I'm
fire and you got to get the wood and you got to get the animal.
Michael's
and you got to kill the animal.
Today,
you got to burn it. I mean, this is not like
I just tripped and fell. I committed an accident. Anyway, and I'm just going to tell you this as a little aside.
Okay, so
I had someone a while
most
back.
Most of the time,
they owed me a little bit of money.
When we
usually those sins
I neglect
to God
bill
and to
for,
others.
I don't
it's, we represent it as an
checks
accident.
They just kind of lay there. So I'm
sorry.
She said, well, how much do you...
No, you messed up your sin.
A couple $100. So
and it's intentional.
$200.
Right?
She said,
it took a little planning.
Venmo?
Or a lack
Venmo.
Of preparation.
I said, Kate, I'm 55 years old.
The temptation.
I've never even heard of Venmo. Every man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed.
Get Venmo.
Okay?
It's the best thing ever.
So, anyway, just a little aside.
It's fantastic.
It was an accident that Paul...
Thank you,
Saul
Kate,
and
now I'm a disciple of Venmo, and I'm trying to promote
it. He wouldn't wait for Samuel to get it.
He took it upon himself.
Saul also then, and later on, and this is kind of another
it's
one.
It's unlikely
one
that if I got one of those pronouncements
of the kingdom being stripped,
that I would believe much
kind of
what's
brought
in
to bear in his victory over the Amalekites.
Because of the fact they don't start with the foundation of Saul on his way home from the victory
listen,
of the Amalekites.
Listen, I'm just going to tell us right here.
Goes
listen,
to a certain place
problems,
and basically sets up a
issues.
Victory monument to himself. Like, look what I've done. I got
this
victory over the
marriage.
America.
You have
no.
issues in your finances. You have issues in your life.
Saul didn't win this victory.
Your coworkers
victory,
with grudges,
right?
With
but Saul
harboring resentment.
The monument
to himself.
Listen, where's the Holy Spirit involved in all that?
There are
how
times
are you involving
which
him in those issues.
We don't intentionally recognize.
Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God.
The way
that he'll
God
give it
intervenes
to you
on our behalf.
Liberally.
That comes
and
to the Holy
we don't
Spirit.
Do that, we are
it's interaction with us,
erecting a victory monument to ourselves.
So.
We don't recognize what God has done.
We don't give him credit.
Along
with
that, we're
going to
get back to
the passage, believe me. But I had a lot going on this week.
I don't know why, but on Monday,
and then on Tuesday, because of him.
And then on Wednesday,
the reality is that in time,
I have this song pop into my head.
God moves in spite of us.
Two of you will know what song this is.
Now, has he gifted us? Has he given us?
Remember when we were in Missouri as kids in Missouri,
but there are times of which God will move in spite of us.
They were
old
timers
back then. My dad was a pastor. This was like 1972. We moved there.
It was revealed in Gideon.
And one of the songs that they always request, and usually on Sunday nights,
revealed in
Gideon. We'd have like
request time.
Did Gideon on the way home from
defeat of the
Midianites after three? After
and God
one of the songs we sang
down,
was
army down from tens of thousands.
I don't know if the
down
name
to
it was 300 men
power, but it was said
Gideon
send the
went
old
on the way home.
Power,
said, look what Penny, I'm amazing.
Send the old
I'm an amazing military
power,
leader. I should write a book.
Pentecost.
I should write a book.
And this is how
that's
I'm singing
people
it
do, right?
Work.
They have some kind of short
and then
term
people
success,
say,
you
Carl,
write a book.
Then they're on the speaking circuit,
right?
Everyone
they make
far more money in the speaking about what they did that one time.
So I'm singing this song.
Maybe they didn't even do it.
This I'm reminded about how we sang this and who would request this.
So God moves in spite of us. It's like doing a project
them.
With a young child. Now, years ago,
I think they would be shocked.
Christian was like 2 years old.
If that actually ever occurred.
And I'd brought some bricks home.
That God would actually
built
send
a stairway down
Pentecostal
from our deck.
Power.
And what might occur?
We'd never had one before. So
what might occur if the Holy
that's
Spirit
really
came
the main
down on
a
service
good,
as He did on the day of Pentecost? What is it going to entail for us? What are we going to? How are we going
so
to respond
blame it on
to that?
Right? It was just inaccessible.
We talk
so thought,
all
well,
we want about.
I build a stairway.
Oh,
then
if
I'm
we just had the power of the early church.
Cook,
yeah, we had. They had the power in the early church because they had the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit because
kind of muddy.
He changed their lives completely, and everything they were about was
one day.
And
was
his
Christians
passion
out there
in
with
the
me.
Kingdom of God.
And I still have the video on my phone. It's the cutest thing. He's just
so
the old time
teeny.
Pilot
he's got
the little round
power.
Glasses. And he's like, I said, well, can you help me build this patio?
I think
here,
there are times
step.
At which we can
so
look
so he comes
back
over, he picks up a brick, puts it over, and I said, well, now you've got to make sure it's tight. You've got
to
kick it into place. And he's like, we have to look clear back
like
to kicking
it
into place. And he just goes over. And the video lasts like several minutes. And the whole time, all he's doing is just picking up these stones and putting over there. Now,
kind of
running
on fumes.
And this is true of any
because
project with a small
with the
child.
The Holy Spirit is transformational. A real
could you do it yourself faster and better without them?
Yeah,
we really want the Holy Spirit.
But what's it about
at
that
point?
That's the question.
Is it about getting it done better and faster?
Because if the Holy Spirit really moves,
no.
And if He really moves in my life,
it's about what's being built into
likely,
the child.
He's likely going to demand some changes
right?
That I may not really
could
want
God
make.
Get most of His projects done better and faster without us?
Really?
Yeah. He could just, you know,
sometimes
snap his fingers. He could, like I said last week, with the water pots that were filled to Jesus turning
honesty.
Jesus could have just wrinkled his nose or
we kind
you know,
of like
bewitched
sin
just done us or whatever, and the water just appears in the jugs.
We kind
but of the guys that filled the jugs then never would have been a
really
part of this miracle.
Radical
all they did is a simple obedience to fill the jugs with water,
to
and now forever,
sin.
The rest of their
that
lives, they can say,
to
man,
lay
you know what God used
sin.
Me to do?
And listen, if we really
and then they tell the story as though they had more of a part of it than they actually did, right?
We're not going to have a choice.
But the fact is that God is using...
That's going to have to go.
He's
gonna be
using these...
changes.
Maybe say projects. This ministry that he's called us to do to build in us what he needs built in us.
That she injured a couple years ago.
What someone said years ago is, I think my mentor said this, and
I guess her and I neither one realize that when you injure something, you should go to the doctor.
What God creates you to become or causes you to become is far more important than what you do.
We don't.
In other words, what you become for God is far more important than what you do for God, because he can find someone else to do what he needs done. But in the middle of that work he's calling you to do, it's really about your transformation. It's really about...
And
what
like
he wants you to become.
The pain just kind of goes clear up here. It's probably
Saul didn't recognize that. In the middle of the project that God called him to do, he thought it was about him,
Jesus,
and he showed
back.
His lack of dependence.
It'll all be better.
And he didn't really become
in
what
the meantime,
God wanted to become.
The doctor gave her
Saul,
a couple of options.
She did actually finally
abandoned
go to the doctor
the
idea
after a
couple
that he
needed
God at all.
The second thing, he stopped walking in obedience.
Other than
offer doing what he thought was okay and not what God desired.
Cortisone.
Now, remember the kind of the definition of
this
is what he did after the Amalekites' victory.
Or she could
and
get
that
him
he
just defeated it.
All of the best sheep
so she
and
can't
oxen.
Bend it. So
and
like
spared
the
king,
the
Agag.
Yeah.
And then, later on, when he's confronted about it,
can you imagine
he says,
if he can't bend that?
No, I just, listen, I thought.
Or she could get
be
in
best
a,
if we would just keep some of the best animals,
a joint,
to sacrifice to God.
Artificial joint. Which they
and
make
the same
them.
As, well, that's not really what God asked you to do. And then Saul, what's the Saul say then? Well, you know, the people.
Because otherwise,
they wanted to do this. So,
not only will he take responsibility for his own actions,
they could just
cut it off.
Somehow manipulate God into thinking that what his chosen path was the best path.
I mean, you know,
now,
just cut it off.
I know that we've never done that
she
ourselves.
She apparently didn't like that idea.
God calls us to go a certain direction. He asks us to do a certain thing.
But here's the fact.
And we rationalize with God
that
as though
really,
somehow our idea
really
is better.
The Holy Spirit into our lives, transform
I'm going to tell you right
way,
now. I mean, I don't know all of your ideas.
It's likely he's going to ask us to cut
I've never heard all your ideas about ministry and stuff, but I'm going
to
tell you that God's idea is better than yours.
We like that sin.
You're like, what? Are you kidding me?
We like that.
Putting me down.
Kinda.
Yeah, I'm putting you down.
Anyway.
The problem comes when we begin to elevate our desires or our intentions or our...
So what do we see from this passage?
Obedience
over believing God.
And here's
Jesus
something
that
the
I noticed
who loves me
immediately
will obey
when
I command.
Read this passage.
That if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak or move,
when we think about obedience,
there's
obeying
no sense
Jesus.
Going anywhere else.
How is that described?
Trying
how is that
anything
obedience
else? Described by Jesus himself?
Right?
He
but
said,
what do
if,
we do?
Is obedience to me, is
we
obedience
do
to my yoke,
did.
If the Holy Spirit doesn't
my speak,
my commands, my instruction, is it hard?
Obviously, we already talked about
Jesus,
the fact
it's
Saul
my,
put
the obedience to my commands isn't
land.
Grievous. It's not difficult.
And he was just following really what God's instructions
said,
were to
the
nation
I'm
of Israel.
The burden I'm laying on you is light.
Now, listen,
I often
light.
Will
make kind of jokes in passing. Because
what is that obedience?
Kind of
ultimately, that obedience
I'm not make
is
a joke
just
about
being
Harry
like
Potter
him.
Today.
No, obviously we can't just
but let me say
muster
this.
Up the strength to be like him. This is
it's real power
in us, right? But this is the
it's real
this
power.
Is the goal for us to
and
live out.
Don't think.
This is what he's designed for us to do. And what does that,
get
what does
into
that ultimately mean?
Now.
But don't
to live
think
like Christ. We could sum it up in a couple
the enemy of our souls is not involved
to love
in the amount
people
of
like
entertainment
and to serve
available
like
today that really kind of makes witchcraft and sorcery
it's not
okay.
That hard.
It's good stuff.
It's not like a list.
Don't think that's
right?
Not
so
intentional.
When the opportunities present themselves to us to,
just
for us
opens
to love
the door
to
love
a world
people.
When opportunities
are
presented to us
completely
powerless
serve
in.
People, we serve people.
On our own.
Completely.
Living like
and
Jesus
we're opening
lived.
The door to that kind of influence
if you're
going to
be great
okay?
In the kingdom, what do you say?
So as a pastor,
if you're in the kingdom, keep
I'm
this list of 10
you.
Things.
For your
if
kids.
You 10 things.
Especially.
The fact is,
well,
there
no,
are a lot of people in his day and a lot of people in our day who do the 10 things.
Be extremely careful.
About
then what
do
what's
you
most important.
Allow and condone in this area
the kingdom,
of sorcery and witchcraft.
It's, this is nothing to play with. This is not like,
so,
oh, it's all made
Saul
up. No,
left
this is real power. This is,
and began to walk
this
his own
unseen
way.
Darkness. This is spiritual forces that
the last
our
thing
kids
is that Saul
and
began
us,
to fight with God. And I really see this represented in how he began to attack and come after David.
Not ready
because
to
he
handle.
Knew this was the plan of God and the path of God.
I'm just saying, be careful.
And he began to
there's a reason
David
why
how to kill him.
God
you
said,
say,
well, he hated
stay away
David.
From
no,
that.
At this point, I think
stuff.
This.
So,
this,
what he was doing to David was really
fear is what drove Saul to
direct
the Lord
to God.
To
it was his rebellion.
Scripture tells us that
to God himself.
The Philistines were coming against him.
The direction that God.
Then we ask ourselves the question:
so
what
Saul
really
trying to kill David?
Be the
really directed at God.
That would actually drive
now,
me finally.
Remember
to
in the New Testament, to understand
there was a man who thought he was doing God's will or
his claim to be doing God's will.
How desperate does it have to get?
And he was hunting down Christians.
It says in this passage that Saul sought the Lord in three ways.
Saul, or it was the
said, first
was
of all, he wondered if God was speaking through visions
or dreams.
And this is the New Testament Saul.
God didn't.
Then he
and
said, Saul
then
says that
he's confronted
he
by
the
Jesus
Lord
on the road
the
to Damascus,
Urim,
right? And he sees
the
bright light, and
which was
voice
a part of the
Jesus speaking
high
to him, and he
breastplate.
Says
to
Paul,
or Saul.
And again,
he says,
Saul,
he's not giving any
it's
kind
hard
of
for you to
like
kick against the goat,
though I really understand.
But somehow, in that day, before the Holy Spirit,
the meaning there
was
is this
kind of
idea of
in the way he was in
kind of
the context
understand
of that the Holy Spirit was in the world working.
And specifically, when they were
there was some kind of limitation that it wasn't his time yet
until
they
needed
to provide some
basically
direction.
Sent him
some direction to
and
the
so
oxen.
There
so
were
so
ways
the
in which God designed for the priest to ascertain the
really
will of the
sharp
Lord.
On the end,
this
perhaps
one
a piece of iron on the end or something
and
very sharp.
Again, I don't know if
and
it
they
was
used that
like
goad.
It was called a goad
to guide the oxen.
Don't know
no,
completely.
As
there's
long
not
as
enough
the oxen
information
where they were supposed to go.
This was
there wasn't a whole lot of pain. Right?
At
it was
least
just
an allowable
like
way.
Maybe the farmer would just tap the oxen over on this leg.
The priest.
Without the goad, perhaps just the side of the goad.
Discern the will of God
for this
way.
Well, the
oxen
didn't
and
now,
tried to
Saul
rebel against
likely
this direction.
Just
the,
took this
that the farmer was
Saul,
giving him.
He
the
probably
oxen
just
would
grabbed
kick.
It and did it himself.
And many
right,
times the oxen would kick backward, and that goad would go
dead,
into
right?
the back
didn't
of the
have
oxen's
someone
leg.
Kind of operating on his.
No,
anyway,
it doesn't
whatever.
Seem pleasant
that's speculation.
To me. But
right, so God didn't speak to him that way.
And then
and
finally, it says that God
is the illustration that God is using when he says to Saul, "Listen, it's hard for you to kick against the goat.
Prophets.
It's hard for you to, get
okay, so
to kick against
he didn't speak
the direction I'm trying to get you to go."
The Urim, or didn't
how
speak
often
speak
is it that
him,
God is using
prophet.
Something?
And I would say
as a
this:
goat,
Saul represents
something in our lives to get us to change direction.
And as long as
many
we just follow the direction he wants,
waiting
to go,
on the Lord
good.
Is not our strong suit.
But we begin to rebel against it. We begin to kick it,
and
right?
it begins to bring all this pain.
If
into our
I said okay,
that we wouldn't necessarily
we
have to
enough
have
today.
If we just were obedient.
Here's what we're going
to
do.
This is what happened with Saul.
Without
Saul
any
began
kind
to
of
rebel
music
against
this.
He began to kick against this.
Began
to fight with God.
The fan, so that it's
and finally,
quiet
it ultimately ended
here.
Up in Saul's
and we're just
going to
wait before the Lord
end, as we
and
just read in
this
chapter.
In complete
here's
silence,
the man
10 minutes.
Anointed by God, or Samuel, chosen by God, anointed
some
by
of
Samuel,
you are already uncomfortable.
Exalted as the first.
You're already
of
uncomfortable
God's
with
chosen
the idea
people.
That that may be where we're going. Like
and now,
oh no.
slain on the battlefield, and
are
the
you
kingdom,
kidding me?
As it says,
10
ripped
minutes
from his family.
It'd be like the longest
10
minutes of our lives.
When I got done, when I finally stood up here and started speaking again,
because of his rebellion,
thank the Lord, Carl's speaking again. We don't have to listen to
the
Holy Spirit
for us this morning in regards to that.
I'm not suggesting you would actually say that, but
adjust our course.
You understand what I'm saying? That it's not our strong suit to wait.
Yeah, it's just stuff.
What do we do instead?
Sometimes
we
have
to recognize that perhaps
we take charge,
allowing things to happen.
We order a book off the internet on how
to
grow your church.
Goad.
To get
right?
back
and then
to
we implement programs
to be.
Because it's
okay.
easy for us to implement
so what's
programs
the remedy?
Or plans or make
sometimes
strategies.
We might find ourselves in that place.
And it's much more difficult for us to just wait on the Lord.
Kind of moved away from a dependence on
then
God.
Then wait on the Spirit to speak. So Saul says God didn't speak to him through those three ways.
Kind
well, does that mean then that he should go on to find God in some other way? No, he should have waited.
But you're talking about being in the center of God's will.
But
the
we
center of God's will.
We get an indication
if
of why God
ask ourselves that
later on. Because
morning,
this is
am
God
I really? Do I really believe
him?
I'm in the center of
and
God's
my
will.
Contention?
And if we
can't
say yes, then what has moved
us
off of that center?
So Saul,
how far off the
takes
center
matters
are we?
Into his own hands,
which
question.
Sometimes we do,
right?
And he consults.
How far away from God's
the witch
design
of Endor,
for me
and
am I?
And
what really has been the cause of us moving away from the center of God's will?
We confirm it in our own experience that we are easily duped or and or easily
so what's the
satisfied.
Remedy?
And I think the remedy really is
so instead of having
contrast
a move
of the
see
Spirit,
between King David,
we just
in
have
this context,
a
and King
an
Saul.
Emotional worship experience.
And King David, as we begin to read, if
you know, that satisfies
if we went into
us.
When it
Second
may
Samuel,
not be that God
was
if
even
we begin
involved.
To read about King David, we
sang
begin
cool
even reading
and
in,
had
in
cool
his Psalms,
and
we begin to see quite a contrast machine. Between what how King Saul was
Saul
living.
Saul consults
God
the witch
Endor.
Obviously,
David
was not God's
God.
Way. Or it wasn't God's plan.
Context.
He knew that ahead of time because
was
he'd already
perfect?
Put them out of the land. Remember?
No, I mean we could.
He'd already done that. Now he's seeking them again.
Examples of
the fact is
David
that Saul gets this idea that well, if God hasn't spoken,
but he was revered really as
in
the
common
greatest
sense would
king
dictate
Israel ever
had.
Find out
now,
some other way that
have
God
very many
speak.
Before they
and
divided.
So we use
even
to this day, King David
interpretation
lifted up among the Jews as being the greatest,
and we move ahead.
What made him the greatest?
Ways
he is actually spoken of by God
not
as one as it says, to wait. Who had a man, who was a man after God's own heart,
like
after my own heart.
God is leading us, and what we really mean by
so
that.
So what
is
made
my emotions
David
are
different?
Me, or we
make
then
statements
like God really showed up.
And the first thing,
and what we mean by that, is that I feel really
now,
good about.
Now remember,
this.
Both King David and King Saul had to fight
really?
Against the Amalekites. You remember what happened when King Saul
because
fought against
know,
the Amalekites? This is really kind of like the last straw. This is where he spares the best sheep and the best oxen, and he spares King
when
Agag,
really shows
all
up,
of which he was told to utterly destroy.
It's not always a really
and he
happy
kept that
experience.
For himself, and he said, yeah, I got a better plan, because we can sacrifice these things to God.
Because
it's going to be great.
In standing before the and one who is as awesome.
Remember last week we talked about King David and his fight against the Amalekites.
Now, is the
what
end result
good? Remember?
Yeah.
Remember they were he was rejected
to that God.
By the Philistines. He was had an alliance with the Philistines. He was in a place that he shouldn't have been to begin with.
Somehow, that
and God used
God's
this
gonna want us to
breaking
be
of this alliance with the Philistines.
Way.
Because remember, the, when
the
Philistine
not
king
really
came to him and
about
said, listen,
feelings,
I trust you completely, but my guys, they don't trust
heart's
you.
Condition.
They think you're going
to
turn against us in
and
the heat of battle.
To
so you can't go fight with us anymore. So David and his men are returning home, remember, and they're returning home, and the Amalekites have come up from the south, and they've attacked the village, and they've taken away all the family, they've taken away all the possessions.
People
so here it is,
undone by their sin.
The Amalekites,
the
thorn in Saul's side,
and
his kingdom. And now again, as David is kind of in the process of ascending to the throne, the Amalekites also a thorn in his side because.
So in verse 15,
what was
the
difference? The
reason why God has spoken to me
makes up his own way.
Parted from me and
says, "Hey, I'm going to save the best.
Saul, as I said,
keep the king alive, even though you told me not to. I'm going to go ahead and do it."
From God
and David. When he goes against the Amalekites, the first thing he does, it says that
God may depart from us simply because we move
ahead
without
him. He went to the Lord.
Him.
He said, God, what do we do
he
here?
Lets us get ahead of him.
David's men are angry with him. They want to stone him. They said, listen,
him.
You've led us out here. You've been
be
leading
busy,
us, and now
so
our families are gone. We're going to kill
it
you.
Out. We want to fix whatever.
And it says David sought the Lord, and it says he strengthened himself in the Lord in our zeal. Isn't it a contrast?
Put it that way.
Between I'm going
to
invent my own way. I'm going
to
figure this out on my own. I'm going to make my own path of obedience and then call it obedience,
to wait.
As Saul did.
Seems counterproductive.
Or just to pause and say, God,
to wait.
I need your help
the
here. The guys are against me. They're going to stone me. I don't really know what to do. I need your help. I need your strength. I need
praying
your
and waiting
direction.
Is hard work. We understand
and
that.
Then and David was
if you don't understand
quick
that,
to
then perhaps you've
obey.
Not been praying and waiting enough.
And then God brought the success.
So in this case,
David
Saul
decides
to move
Psalm
ahead and
using a
his
completely
love
kind
for
of
obedience
human means.
He says, now,
he says,
surely
I delight
to
do
your
will, O
Lord,
your law
no,
is
written in
my take
heart.
On what's happening here. Well,
I delight to do your will.
Not really
how
the
are we going
to know God's will?
The focus
again,
really is,
as David said,
the fact that through knowing
Saul should have waited
through
obedience.
The
Holy Spirit's
word,
guidance
hearing,
really is key here.
His word being taught.
Saul didn't wait for it. Instead, he went ahead with a kind of a human and second
path or the second thing that
goes
really
to the witch of Endor, as
contrasted
in the life
of
Saul,
referred to as we
first of all,
learned growing up,
as a witch of Endor.
Secondly,
and he asks her to conduct a seance.
And again, that's revealed in his coming before the Lord.
Is there something real going on in a seance?
Yeah, it is. There's something real.
Under stress. Okay, so
under
if
stress,
they conjure up some spirit,
extreme stress,
and
under
it's
loss,
Satan involved,
under conflict,
not likely
going to
be actually that
really
person
or
that
a devastating
personage.
Occurrence.
It's just going
to
be
David's
an imitation.
First step is to.
But does something actually happen? Yeah, something
no.
really scary happens.
Have we experienced
something
loss?
Really demonic happens?
Have you experienced
why?
Loss? Have you experienced conflict?
Because Satan's whole job in
stress
in relationship to us is to deceive
anger?
Us.
Or hurt.
So if he can convince us somehow that something real is happening, then somehow we're going to give ourselves
the question
to that.
Isn't,
now, in this case,
yes or no, but
my opinion is that,
right?
That this actually was Samuel.
All of us in our lives will experience those emotions,
but it has nothing
those
to do with
feelings,
the witch of
Endor. Those situations.
This, she has no power
perhaps,
to conjure
if
up.
If I read it again,
this is God involved
say,
in giving a message to
stress,
Samuel.
Conflict,
or
loss,
law.
Anger, hurt. That's five things. There's
and he
far
worked
more,
in
obviously.
Spite of
those five
Saul.
Things. You can say,
and
yeah, all of them right
of
now.
The witch of Endor.
And the reason I say that
if
is
that's
this,
you. I'm sorry about
is that.
That
the message that Saul got
the fact
was 100%
is
true.
In our lives, we're
right?
going to experience those things. What's our first
it was
100%
step? True.
David's first step was to
and secondly, you see that the woman, the witch, was actually taken aback. Like, she was shocked he was dependent
to think that this
Lord.
Was actually it was
how do we
Samuel's appearance
to those
actually
what's our response?
Revealed to her
and
that this was King Saul.
We can ask ourselves, does
so she wasn't really expecting
Lord
Samuel to come.
Reach.
She wasn't really expecting
like we have,
she just thought she would do her normal flim flam
deal with those things, right?
I'm not suggesting she was just kind of working something up. There were
conflict.
Demons. There are demons and there are spiritual
maybe
wicked forces in place during those kinds of things.
Right?
She's
not
expecting that
the conflict is with.
Because something
else
actually real happened, she was
that's maybe
taken aback. Now,
top.
I'm not suggesting then, because of what happens
I
here.
I mean, we could go on, right?
This is
all
saying,
these ways
hey,
in which
you have a
seance, we take the
path
opposite
show up. No.
Of what we should
God
take.
Worked it this way
David,
in this one time,
says
I believe.
In this passage,
but it really proves to us
that's
that Saul, just using human means, human manipulation, trying to figure it out.
God knows.
It's not you're going to come to him and say, God,
in our own lives,
you might not realize this, but I had a conflict with so-and-so.
And he's like, what? Are you kidding me?
I would say that we do a lot.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
I mean, maybe this is a
God's
bad
never going
to
say
made.
That, right? God's never going to say confession. That. He's not going to say, well, I was taken
there
by surprise
in
by that.
Ministry.
I never saw that.
In my own ministry. Perhaps in your ministry.
He's going to know it.
Where it was easier
listen,
to strengthen
rely
yourself the Lord
on your own
when you're dealing
talent,
with loss, when you're dealing with
or
anger,
your own ideas,
when you're dealing with hurt,
than to really wait before the Lord.
Become dependent on the Lord. And the third thing that makes David
you're
kind
saying,
of different
all
than
you
Saul.
You're going, wow.
And,
well,
and this is just three things. This is by no means an exhaustive list.
I'm just telling you.
But the third thing is really revealed in Psalm chapter
I'm just
51.
Telling you,
David was repentant.
That if we really want
Saul was not
change,
repentant.
If we really want transformation.
David was repentant.
In his sin
if
with
really
Bathsheba.
Want things in our own lives
I mean,
or
really
own in our own
it's
church
like,
to
it's
be
like
different.
A, it's like a
it's
bad movie.
It's going to be only
right?
through the ministry and power of the Holy I mean, Spirit.
He has this.
Period. He's tempted by Bathsheba. He doesn't just get tempted.
And
he doesn't just shut the door and say, man, that was a beautiful woman over there.
It seems
I should probably
me.
Kind of block that from my mind.
From
and,
what you read
you
know,
begin thinking about things
old
other
revivals
than her.
And the way that God
but instead,
worked.
He actually looks longer
past,
and invites her
seems
as
me.
The king to his house. She can't say no.
That God doesn't just
he
show
has
up.
An affair
he
with
send
her.
His spirit.
And then to cover it up, he tries to kill her husband.
Yeah, this is great if you showed up, Jesus.
This is a pretty quick downward progression of sin.
Now, right? Talking to Michael about this earlier this
but
week.
When he's confronted about it,
his immediate response is repentance.
Maybe it was...
Now, in
it
this
seems
case,
like God showed up more.
The role
maybe
of the Holy Spirit
we
being played
we're not
by
addressing
Samuel.
Him properly.
Or by Nathan.
Now,
I mean, by Nathan.
Back then, we'd sang
Samuel's
Holy
dead.
Spirit,
thou
the role
art
of the
welcome?
Holy Spirit is being played by Nathan.
I mean,
maybe
it's that.
And says, hey, David,
we're not using the
story to
proper
tell you.
Pronouns.
The story about this
thou
man who
art
this
welcome.
Little lamb, and it's this beautiful lamb. It's
I don't
the family
think
pet.
At all.
And this rich guy comes, and he takes this family pet, and he just destroys
to respond
it.
To the desperation
what,
is,
what should
of
be done
hearts?
To that man?
Listen, if you want transformation
in your
life, punished, he should be killed, he should be brought before
the real change in your life.
Nathan said, David,
you're
that
really
guy.
If you want real power in your life,
you're the one that did that.
We read about the day of Pentecost, and they were filled
with
the Holy Spirit, and they
was
operated with
wife.
Power that seems so foreign
you
to us.
That from him, and you killed him.
Here's the thing we don't
David's
remember.
Quick to repent at that point.
We don't often consider.
Listen,
I said this last week in our board
before
meeting.
Before the day of Pentecost came, what were
you
they
know
doing?
You what's going to be the biggest distinguishing factor
waiting.
Between
waiting
between just together.
Waiting.
I don't even know how I word it.
In the upper
it.
Room,
between
waiting,
praying.
We
waiting.
Might say a normal Christian,
waiting.
A nominal Christian.
Jesus said
and one
to
who
do really
so,
is after God.
He said, wait for the promise.
Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise
repentance.
Of the Father.
I'm just going to tell you, repentance is not
promise
just.
The Father.
It's not just
for
coming to Christ that
Saul.
First time and saying,
don't
Jesus,
take
I need you to
your
forgive me and I need
you to receive
him in my life.
Any
it's
good
not just for that.
Your, in your, for, through your life,
for
in
any
the ministry, in the kingdom of God,
sin
really
even
God
in your career.
Repentance is required.
It's through the power and intervention of the Holy Spirit in your life.
You know what it shows?
You want a good marriage?
Humility, which is what we need.
Both
also,
of you commit yourselves
right?
to walking in step
you know
with the Spirit.
Dependence on God.
You want relationships with people
need.
that are free of friction
repentance.
And tension?
So David repents. You
listen
to
the Holy Spirit.
Several times this week, probably it'd be good for you to read Psalm 51. How are we going to become the kind of men and
that
women of whom God could say,
this week.
They're after
really
me, they're after my own heart.
And the mission. God,
they're like
us
David.
On a mission.
You know that's going to happen? You know how you're going to have that kind of marriage? You know
obedience.
How you're going to have that kind of togetherness?
Ministry of the
obedience.
Holy Spirit.
The working of the Holy Spirit in
so
your
here's
life
the question.
And in the life of
this
your spouse.
This is in
together. He brings you together
in this area of obedience
to complete the mission that he's given you.
What is
you
one place in your life that God has been asking for obedience and you have been resistant?
One last thing. Lisa sent me another.
Okay.
She's been reading this devotional
you know what it is.
About marriage, and she sent
if
me another
if he's been
one
asking
week,
and you've been resisting
said,
him,
really
and you've
good.
Been saying no, or you've been saying, okay, God, I'm not going to obey in that area, but I'll give you another
this.
Way in which I'm going to obey you. I'll obey
from
you in this area, just not in this area.
It
listen,
seems
if there's a
to
specific
us,
way in which he's asking you to obey,
is,
or a specific action he's asking you to take, or
that
a specific
seems
thing he's asking
that
you to do.
There's an increasing.
Listen, you're not
going to
move forward in your
relationship
with God until
and
you come back
and
obey this
separation.
Obedience he's asking you to do.
And it's just not going to happen. I don't mean separation physically.
So obedience,
I just mean
dependence
spiritually.
In what area of your life are you operating completely
kind of
on your own?
Two kind of separate lives, as Phil Collins.
God's been saying, bring this area under my influence.
But the fact
power.
Is that that's what,
that's
the religious
way that
area.
God
designed
we often think,
oh,
it's only
be.
The kingdom. No, it's everything about your life.
Caught in that kind of situation.
In what area of your life have you been operating completely independently, saying, okay, God, I got this
so
area.
In that
you can have these three areas, but this area is mine. I'm going to operate completely on my own in this area. What is that area?
Maybe we missed it.
That's the area that God wants.
Like maybe we should have.
Well, if you view your house as
maybe,
your heart
you know,
as a house full of
wife,
rooms,
I've had
and you're letting him in the nine of the ten
different.
Rooms, but the tenth
this
room not allowing him in that room. That's the room that he wants to go
in particular.
That's
but
the room that he wants
really to men as well.
So listen, dependence on God in every area of your life, and then finally in repentance.
If you're married, maybe this morning,
there's
then
some
the one you're married
sin.
To is the one that God. Has
or disobedience,
perhaps long buried
period.
Because you didn't want to actually deal with it.
Period.
And he's bringing
it
up to you today.
There's no other way. If
he's
you're
saying,
married,
this is it. If you want to move on,
then there's
me,
no sense even entertaining thoughts about wondering if I missed
it,
if I married the right one. Because if you're married right now, this
is the area you need
to.
This
is who God has for you. This is for the rest
this
of your life.
You need to receive.
What are we
going to
do?
This is an area. Where you need
to
be
move
restored.
That forward,
perhaps
that relationship
that
forward in a way that honors
Christ
is not just about me, but it's about a relationship.
It's not
going to
happen at all.
There's not going to be
sin.
Unity. There's not going to be mission. There's not going to be purpose. There's not going to be any of that stuff that we think would be so awesome to have.
That
it's not. None of that's going to happen
that needs to be
without the ministry of the Holy Spirit in both of our hearts,
in both of our lives.
Obedience, dependence, and repentance.
So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk
a
about
person,
the
man or
the
woman
I believe that's where we're
after
going.
God. And
so you pray with me about
God,
that
or by God.
God
you.
Leads us into the direction.
They're a man or woman after my heart
in relation to
these three areas:
Spirit.
Obedience, that's dependence, right. and repentance.
Father, thank you for this
wait
example
a
again,
minutes,
a really
a
bad example of Saul. We see these bad examples of Saul over and over again.
Anything
those
he
made, which really took him away from you,
push
him away from your purpose, took him away from what
you
wanted for the nation, the people he was leading. So. Father,
God,
we don't want to be
this
like
this is an
him.
Area you've brought up to me today.
But we have to confess at
I need
times
to deal
we
with
are
I
like
need to,
him.
I need to bring some resolution.
But there are
this.
Times when we take
need
matters
to bring it
into
under
your
hands.
There are times when we don't really
work in my life.
You as
you
should. There are
heart.
Times when
okay?
we seek answers from other places. There are times that we kind of ignore the promptings and leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we do so at our own peril, and we recognize that. But it's not enough for us to recognize that. But really, gives us opportunity to invite you again to come into our lives and to change us, to make us into, well, to form Christ in us. And so, Father, we also recognize that that's a hard thing. It's not easy for us to submit to that kind of, perhaps, surgery that's going to be required. It's not easy for us to recognize and to see ourselves for who we are and to submit that self to you to say, God, I need purity in my life. I need power in my life. I need your presence in my life.
God, we have to confess.
As we look back in our lives over the course of
rush
them,
in,
we
rush out
can
in your presence
point to
so quickly
experiences
that you can sit here
where the Holy Spirit seems
half,
so real to us
and quiet
and seemed to be speaking
like
to us
so
in
so
such
long.
A powerful way.
And
perhaps
really
those times have been long ago.
Speaking to us and saying, "This is."
So I pray that
this is something
over
that
these next weeks, perhaps not just on Sunday mornings, but
case,
really in our own lives,
for anything
we might
we've talked about this morning, anything that
we might
brought
explore
up, something we didn't even talk about,
and understand more fully the working of the Holy Spirit.
I pray
our
that our
that you've
the
sent him for
be
our benefit. In fact, you said, Jesus, you said that it's to our benefit. That he, Jesus, would leave.
Dependence.
Because if he leaves, then he could send us the Holy Spirit.
Father, our desire is to
wow.
be.
Help us to know over these next
all
weeks
and
months
be.
That we would know.
We recognize in the middle of tests, and
really
trials,
more and more what that means.
Us and reshaping
Jesus, what you
us,
meant when you said that.
You're transforming.
We're give ourselves to that.
And the goal of
we
that
recognize
transformation
that you
is
want
to
leave
us,
the image
of Christ formed
in us. You want to transform us. You want to take
we
us
deeper. We recognize
from
into
our own lives and from our own hearts that sometimes
into who
that
you are and how you want to work in our lives.
That refining.
I pray that you help us to give ourselves
is,
to
is going
to
be difficult.
Ministry.
It's going to be unpleasant. It's going to be perhaps painful.
Walk with us this week
because
as
of
we walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus'
because of how different
amen. Amen.
We are from
guys.
The image of Christ. Well, we're thankful that you don't give up, that you continue the process, that you continue refining. We think of David, and we see where he ended. We see where you brought him, but we also see the process that he went in and through to get there. And we see his failure. We see his sin. It's obvious. It's portrayed in the Scripture. It's written down in all the gory detail. And the only thing that we take from that, as far as any kind of solace, isn't that somehow we celebrate his sin because we're also sin. But we celebrate the fact that he was restored to relationship with you by his own repentance and confession of his sin. And that his dependence on you really led him to become what he became. And that his focus on obedience to your word really transformed how he was and who he became. So I pray that you'd help that to be true, and that we would desire that to be true in our own lives, in our own hearts. If you've spoken about some specific thing in our lives today, and we brought that to you in, at least initially, and we say, God, I'm bringing this before you. I need you to work. Or perhaps you've brought something up to us, and we say, okay, God, I hear you. That's how you need to work in my heart. I pray that it wouldn't stop here. That this morning would just be the beginning, really, of the way that you continue to work in our lives and transform us into the image of Christ. That would be pleasing to you. That we could be called men and women after your own heart. That's our desire. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great week.